Financial news. After record highs yesterday, the stock market has continued to soar after this week's run of good economic figures. Traders are also hoping for a cut in base interest rates in the near future. Among companies reporting, supermarkets group Asda reports interim profits of £83.9 million and dividends up 10%. Gold has opened in London at $385.50 an ounce. That's down 55 cents on last night's close. In the foreign exchanges, the pound against the mark, 2.54, down a quarter of a pfennig. Against the dollar, it's 1.48 and three quarters, unchanged. The dollar against the mark, 1.70 and three quarters, also down a quarter pfennig. And the opening FTSE 100 share index, up 18.5 at 3329.7. London's weather now. Here's Sea Daily.
There'll be a slight improvement in the weather today as the day goes on. This morning, though, is not great. A lot of cloud around, quite dull at times, and there'll be some bits and pieces of rain and drizzle around as well, although most of it quite light and more annoying than anything else. During the afternoon, though, it will become drier. Still a fair amount of cloud around, though, but winds staying quite light today, and temperatures at the moment around 6 degrees, which isn't brilliant, but it will become milder as the afternoon goes on, and by the end of the day, temperatures will be around 11 degrees. Then tonight, a mild, cloudy night and quite breezy as well. Tomorrow looks like being mild but rather wet as well. That's the forecast. This is Sea Daily at the London Weather Centre.
Well, here we go. It's 26 minutes to 9 o'clock. Last 26 minutes. Lots of cards and letters and faxes, particularly faxes coming in this morning, for which I thank you. I'll never be able to reply to all the letters. I just can't. I think it'd take me for another 3 months to do it, but that's very sweet of you. I thank you for that. One fax asked, would I be taking Angela Rippon back to Australia? Dame Angela? I don't think so. That's on the cards, really. A lot of people have said, would you do some of the funny bits again? Including, for some reason, the Ballad of Saddam Hussein, which appears to have struck a chord of some sort, a bum note, possibly. But I rummaged through the bottom of the pile and managed to find it. So just for the hell of it, the Ballad of Saddam Hussein. Well, howdy, friends and neighbors, and welcome to the show. Good to have you all along with us. We pick and sing a little for you. Right now, I'd like to begin by doing for you a song I wrote just a little ways back. Music might be kind of familiar to you. Words a little different. They call it the Ballad of Saddam Hussein. It goes a bit like this. Over flying in the bomb of Saddam Hussein. Over flying in the bomb of Saddam again. We're going on a mission for the Allied coalition. Flying in to give Saddam a little pain. I'm a top gun from the land of liberty. I'm a good old boy from Memphis, Tennessee. Got the president's permission live on network television to bomb Iraq back to democracy. Take it away, Jethro. Oh, we're flying in to hit Saddam today. 'Cause we're gonna teach Saddam he must obey. All them UN resolutions so there'll be no more confusion. We're going in to blow his ass away. Yippee! Mr. Bush would like to say one last farewell. Gonna give Saddam that good old rebel yell. It's the U.S. Navy calling, gonna set them bombs a-falling. Just try not to hit the El Rashid Hotel. And make you all feel kind of proud and glad. Mr. Clinton knows what's good and what is bad. You! The inauguration is a time for celebration, so we're heading off to drop bombs on Baghdad. We are taking off to make one more attack. Oh, we're flying one more mission to Iraq. As them laser bombs landing, there won't be a lot left standing. Gonna blow Saddam Hussein to hell and back. Good Lord, was it that bad? Pretty terrible, wasn't it? There we are. For those who asked for it, the Ballad of Saddam Hussein. It's 23 minutes to 9 o'clock.
Treasure. Why don't you come away with me for Christmas?
But Mr. Goldberg, you're the managing director.
Don't let a little thing like that come between us. I've got an enormous cabin up in the woods.
Really?
With a roaring log fire, an Olympic-sized indoor swimming pool, a sauna, a jacuzzi, a 20-foot Christmas tree from Norway, a monstrous turkey, and a selection of the finest wines and spirits from around the world.
Cool. And have you got the Christmas edition of the Radio Times?
No.
Oh, never mind. I'll go round my mum's then.
Christmas isn't Christmas without the Radio Times.
Visit some computer stores and you might as well be talking to yourself.
Excuse me, can you tell me about Compaq? What's the best printer to go with my Prolinear? I'm looking for a Contura notebook. What's the best buy?
Talk to Tempo for the computer advice you need. At Tempo, we've over 1,000 PCs and add-ons, including Compaq, and somebody to talk to.
Without after sales, is it such a goodbye?
Goodbye.
Computer supercentres at Tempo, Barking, Chingford, Croydon, Gravesend, Harlow, Staples Corner, Stevenage, Thurrock, and now New Oxford Street, with interest-free credit subject to status. Call 081 974 8606 for written quotations. Tempo, high technology brought down to earth.
21 and a half minutes to 9 o'clock. DHL London Lookout, Wolfie.
Actually, nothing much is happening at the moment. It all seems to be quite quiet up here. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's got rid of another traffic jam. Anyway, the Blackwall Tunnel, not too bad now. That all seems to be sorting itself out. The overhyped vehicle is still getting a bollocking in the side of the road there, but it's not really affecting the traffic too much, except it is tailing back to the Sun in Sands roundabout, so it's not very funny if you're stuck in it, of course. As for the rest of it, well, the M11, there's that nasty little accident going northbound as well. But that seems to be sorting itself out, not causing too many problems. That's it from our Eye in the Sky report for you today. This is Bram Wolf, London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express.
Thank you, Wolfie. Dear, I've gone mad. I hope Heathrow's not listening to that. It's 20 and a half minutes to 9 o'clock. My Carlton Morning Report.
It's the heart of the city winter spectacular at the Paris Intercontinental Hotel until February 28th. Double rooms from £170 per night, including American breakfast and all taxes. Call 081 847 2277.
This Christmas, have you thought of giving someone special one of the finest quality leather wallets available? I'm Michael Gidden, Managing Director of W&H Gidden, Sadler's since 1806. Besides wallets, W&H Gidden make briefcases, handbags, travel bags, diaries and belts, all crafted from superb leather. For that really special Christmas gift in leather, W&H Gidden are at 15D Clifford Street, just off New Bond Street, and at No. 1 Burlington Arcade, Piccadilly. You can also find us at Liberty and in selected branches of Gives and Hawks.
Right then, 20 minutes to 9 o'clock, and it is the last half, well, it's the last 20 minutes, really, and I guess that is time to say goodbye. I'm not very good at this sort of stuff, but if you have put up with me on and off for 3 years, so maybe you can bear with it for a little longer. There are a few things I'd like to say to you. And the first thing is thank you. For me and for my wife and two children, these have been 3 wonderful years in Britain. We've been very far from home, but you have made us feel very much at home. And for that, many thanks. I've been very lucky. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to broadcast to you here on LBC, and you can't ask for much more than that. You've been kind enough to listen to an unknown Aussie barging onto British radio and banging on about this and that, and no one could have wanted a better nor more responsive audience. I expect I've probably driven you mad at times. I expect I've done some pretty horrible things and made some plonking great mistakes, but I also like to think occasionally I've given you something worth listening to. Either way, I couldn't have done it without the support and encouragement, and indeed the very fair criticism that your letters and phone calls have given me over these years. You've been terrific. This is, I suppose, where I start to get a bit pompous now, too. I have, this is the pompous bit, but sincerely meant, I have found in these 3 years that really the chief characteristic of the British people is a human decency and a generosity of spirit, unmatched anywhere else I've been in 30 years of journalism, and that's most of the world here and there. You do keep it hidden sometimes behind good old British reserve, mustn't make a fuss, all that, but it comes forth, and it stands out as the uniquely appealing feature of this society I've been lucky enough to live in. Some personal thank yous to the production team on this program, producers, researchers, studio people who've put up with me and worked so hard and loyally to get this show on the road each morning, with sometimes mixed success, but that's more my fault than theirs. I thank you to the people who've appeared on it. Some of them, I guess, wish they hadn't. Esther Ranson springs to mind. But that's the way it works. I think I tried to be fair most of the time. No thanks to the Radio Authority, though, enough to say about them that I hope they've learned a lesson, that they never again
Do they so stupidly try to silence a radio station which has simply been doing its job of serving its listeners in the best way it knows how? But that's the only sour note. Forget them. Non-entities, I think, really. I don't know what will happen to LBC. I suppose nobody does. Things are still much in the melting pot, but I wish the station all the very best. There is a lot of talent and commitment here, and I hope that somehow, that I'm sure that somehow, that will continue to be heard on the airwaves of London. So, for me, it's back home, to Sydney, Australia, early in the new year. Funny thing, you know, being an Australian here in Britain. We have... Well, I suppose our two peoples may have grown apart over the years as Britain's turned to Europe and Australia's turned elsewhere, but the things we do share, we've learnt this very much, the things we do share are far greater and far more precious than the things which do set us apart. So if you'll pardon one last blunt, brash Australian expression, for a load of poms, you're not bad. And thank you for the good times. And if you'd like to give us a call, love to have them. 071-973-9733. Just for the hell of it, 071-973-9733. Right then, the champagne is bubbling, the smoked salmon is still there, and there are people on the line. Hello and good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much indeed. I just phoned in to say we've been having a love affair for 2 years and...
You're another bloody Australian.
I'm not.
Aren't you?
I am not at all. I'm an English person.
Why do you sound like an Australian?
Not at all, Mike. I'm totally English.
I thought I might have rubbed off for a bit or something.
I just phoned to say I'll miss you rotten. Your wife's a very lucky lady. She's got a guy who's brash, she's got a guy who's strong, and he's intelligent too.
You've obviously never met her. She would dispute all that.
Listen, take care, Mike, and wishing you every happiness now and in the new year, and thanks for everything for the last 2 years.
That's very sweet of you. Keep listening.
Take care, Mike.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, lovely. 15 and a half minutes to 9 o'clock. More calls? Any more out there? I'm told the switchboard is jammed. Good morning. Hello?
Hello, Mike.
Yes.
Hi. I wanted on behalf of Nelson Baker and the rest of your London listeners, it's Philip Nelson here.
It's missed that there is a Philip Nelson, Virginia.
So thank you for your great contribution. We've been having great fun here. We've listed out the idea of a great cultural loss and a huge void. But we have seriously, thoroughly enjoyed your programmes. Never going to be quite the same in the morning now.
It's terrific to have had you as a loyal sponsor through thick and thin. Philip, that's very nice of you to ring.
Well, it's worked both ways, and we've certainly enjoyed having you over here.
It's nice for people to know that there really is a Nelson and really is a Bakewell.
Well, we are, and we're quite young, too.
Oh, good. Traditional service. In the what?
In the modern manner.
Oh, it's nice of you to ring, Philip. Thank you very much indeed. Good luck to you.
Good. Thank you very much, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There really is, you see, a Nelson Bakewell. You thought they were a pair of old Victorian codgers. In fact, they're not. They're a bunch of nice fellas. It's 14 and a half to 9 o'clock. Hello. Next call. Is there next call? Is it Joan?
Oh, good morning, Mike.
Hello, Joan.
Good morning. Thank you very much for a marvellous programme over the last 3 years. We've thoroughly enjoyed it, my husband and I. And I think you'll be a very hard act to follow.
No, I don't think so.
Absolutely, I think so. You've brightened our mornings, and we love your straight talking to politicians. Absolutely, insisting on answers.
That's been part of the fun, actually.
Absolutely, it is. So, and they're lost for words quite often, aren't they, too?
I hope so, sometimes. Yeah, that's part of the act, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And also, your Saddam Hussein is excellent, isn't it?
Or, what, the song?
Yes.
No, it's terrible. I can't sing a note, which is a great great problem, actually, if you're trying to do that sort of stuff.
Oh, it's marvellous.
It's very sweet of you to ring.
Absolutely. And good luck in your return home to Australia.
Becky Knowles.
But we shall all miss you.
Thanks very much indeed. Thank you. It was lovely of you to call. Thank you. 13 and a half to 9 o'clock. We have some more. Chris.
Hello there. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Chris.
Mike, sorry to hear that you're going, and I'd like to thank you for the last few years of your radio programme. Firstly, because you managed to bring a bit of fun and take some of the pomposity out of out of morning radio, but also because you were once kind enough to give me £1,000.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Oh, well, this is an entirely mercenary phone call.
Absolutely, yeah.
When did I give you £1,000?
You gave me £1,000. One of the competitions you ran a while ago.
Well, we had to buy listeners at that stage.
You did
the only way to get anyone to listen to this silly bloody Aussie was to actually pay them.
That's right. You may possibly remember me because you got the hump because you asked me what I was going to do with the £1,000. I couldn't think of anything interesting, so I said, well, I'm going to rebuild my garden fence.
I do remember that.
And you went on at some length about it.
I hope you did find a better use for the £1,000 in the end.
Yes, I did, yes. Yes, wine, women and salt.
Oh, what better.
Anyway, good luck, mate.
Thank you, Chris.
Hope you get everything you want back in Australia.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your call. 12:30 to 9:00. Cassandra.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for the funny bits. Will you make a recording of them?
No.
Why not? I've recorded most of them, especially the Hoover one.
Well, that's totally illegal, and I can sue you for doing that. Yes, exactly.
Oh, really? Oh, well, go
but
ahead.
I won't. But go I won't. I won't sue.
But it is very funny if you're playing music and suddenly one of your funny bits comes on in the middle of a dinner party. And which paper are you going to write for?
A paper?
Yes, you're going to write for a column.
Yeah, I've been offered a newspaper column in Australia.
Which one?
I can't actually say yet.
Can't you? Will you ring back to Dave Luddy or someone and tell someone?
Yes.
Which paper you're going to write for.
All right.
So we can get the columns. And thank you for all the funny bits.
Thank you. You're very kind. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
It's 11:30 to 9:00 now. And Marie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
I just wanted to thank you for your lovely programme over the years. It's going to be like losing a family friend.
Nah. The radio presenters come and go. We're like autumn leaves. You dry up and fall off.
Oh, no, I think you're something special.
Oh,
I really do. Incidentally, I was the crazy woman who won 2 tickets to Los Angeles a short while ago and offered to kiss you.
Right.
And offered the opposite.
Oh, I remember that. Well,
how terribly embarrassing.
Not at all. Did really? You have a good holiday?
Well, in actual fact, Northwest are allowing us to go next year.
Oh, that's
and take
nice of them.
My 2 sons.
That was a good competition, the Northwest one. They were terrific.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
I've been trying every day for a year.
And you got it. Well, that's good, and thank you for ringing.
And all the best to your family.
And to yours.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks. Bye-bye. I could love to take some more calls, but we haven't got time because we've got a little bit of a lurch and lunge into the old nostalgia coming up in just a second. Look, thank you to the people who called, particularly those who didn't get through. That was nice of you to even try. It's been terrific. We still have 10.5 minutes to go. This is LBC News Talk.
This Christmas in The Spectator, John Simpson rubs up Zsa Zsa Gabor the right way. Martin van der Weyer lifts the lid on bachelor living. Tacky gives the dirt on Millionaire's Row. William Trevor writes a story about love for sale. And Mary Killen gives advice on dodges under the mistletoe. Plus our fiendishly infuriating Christmas quiz. And the funniest cartoons of the festive season. All in the 104-page Christmas double issue of The Spectator. At your newsagent now. Without it, there's simply no escape this Christmas.
10:30 to 9:00. I'm not sure what's coming up now. I haven't the faintest idea. In fact, Chris Lowry, my dedicated studio producer, has put up with all my tantrums and hangovers and abuse and all that sort of stuff over a couple of years and has religiously made the coffee each morning. Chris has compiled the next 9 minutes of the programme. Don't blame me. It's all his fault.
This morning I want to show you how to make a political mess. It's very quick, it's very easy, the sort of thing you can put together in just a few minutes. If you suddenly find you've got John Major coming around to supper. Now, the first thing you'll need is a junior minister who's made a couple of appalling political blunders, like exporting weapons to Saddam Hussein, or perhaps consorting with a fraudulent tycoon who's fled to an island in the Mediterranean. These are not hard to find if you know where to look around the government, so all you do is whisk them together very nicely. Or better still, you could get the media to blend it together for you. There we are.
We were there about to speak to Norman Willis, the General Secretary of the TUC, who's been out and about on Paddington Station this morning, dramatising the TUC campaign on the coal mining dispute. I mean, he's been collecting money and sort of drumming up enthusiasm and public support for the TUC campaign, all that sort of thing. And we had him lined up to speak to us in a telephone box. And he was sort of hanging on the line. He was going to talk to us, and we were going to talk to him. And we had the commercials on air, and he was waiting. And he was accosted by a little old lady with an umbrella who said, "How long are you going to be in there holding up the line?" And he said, "Madam, I'm the president of the TU. I'm about to talk." "I don't care who you are. You can't stand in that box. You're not talking." And so much for militant trade unionism. The poor old president, the general secretary of the TUC, was routed by the little old lady on the telephone. What? We think we have him back. It's 18 minutes past 8 o'clock. Let us try.
Again, they've taken the phone off me.
Mr. Willis, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yep.
Have we got you?
Yeah, but I've got a problem.
What's that?
I'm on the concourse at Paddington,
mm-hmm.
and the policeman has just taken the phone off and put it down, and I've just had to dial through, and he's standing here, so could you make it quick?
Oh, all right.
I'm about to get arrested.
Well, God forbid.
How hard was it, after all your work, all your years in opposition, how hard to see that Prime Minister snatched from, a Prime Ministership snatched from you, when it was within sight?
Well, in personal terms, the major pressure on me at the moment of defeat was, first of all, the people who'd worked with me and worked so hard, and the fact that instead of them, politicians and other people who worked very hard in designing our policies, in coming up with the right answers, weren't going any further. And my grief was, first of all, for them, and secondly, for the fact that millions of people, including some people for the very first time in their lives, had voted for hope, had voted for construction, for recovery, mm. and the rug had been pulled on them. And I...
people for giving me your trust and your commitment. I want to promise you that we can work together. We can bring about change. We can bring about a new America for our children and for their children. But most of all, I promise you this, there will be a new team of speechwriters in the White House. New cliches, new banalities, new empty rhetoric. We're going to...
Well, I'm actually in what used to be the children's bedroom. You can probably hear it's quite echoey in here because the carpet's been taken up and there's fungus lining all along the skirting board, and I'm surrounded by packing boxes because the family are hoping to move out any day now. The problem, presumably, is worse than I can see, and it looks pretty bad.
Yeah, as I say, every couple of months I cut the mushrooms off because it's so disgusting. And usually take them to the council because obviously the stench is so strong and they can smell it for themselves. And that's what I've done this time, is cut the mushrooms and taken them up the council.
What is to be done about it? I mean, short of dragging the councillors down there themselves and forcing them to smell it and live in it, well, what can you do?
Well, I hope that some of the councillors and perhaps some of the officers at the town hall will be listening to this broadcast and will say, you know, this is something we've got to cut through all this red tape on. We've got to actually take some action today and get something done. And this family, who's very ill, shouldn't be living in these disgusting conditions.
Things are so bad that Maxine has had to send two of her children away. Maxine, where are they?
Well, I have my eldest daughter is at her nan's in Hammersmith, and my son is in Shepherd's Bush with my brother and his family. They got so ill. They get ill every weekend. I'm calling doctors out, taking them to the doctors. They've just gotten so ill with it all that they can't get better here, so they have to be sent away now.
Was it hard to break up your family as you've had it?
Well, of course. I mean, I'm quite depressed about it even now. I mean, the house is quiet. It seems like totally changed. It's, you know, I want my children with me.
How did they handle it, the kids handle it, when you said goodbye?
They're all upset too. I mean, we've been together. I've never separated my children from anything.
Oh, it's brilliant news. I heard last night, I had a hand-delivered letter at 6 o'clock yesterday evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. It's everything that we need. It's a garden, a house, in the street. It's, you know, lots near of heating school. Near the school, near the mm-hmm. hospitals. It's fantastic.
They tell me it's a brand-new house, isn't
it? Yeah, it's just been built. I just say thank you to everybody in the LBC for helping, and Miss Dainton, and everybody that's helped, and friends and family. Because without them, we haven't gotten this far.
Good.
Thank you very much for everything.
It was a pleasure. Truly a pleasure. Marks and Spencer at Marble Arch have been opening early, flinging wide a door at 8 a.m. to allow the Health Secretary, Virginia Bottomy, to shop in peace and quiet away from the madding crowd. fresh, no doubt, from another expedition this morning to peruse the knickers and woolly pulleys. The Health Secretary joined us on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a bit regal of you, isn't it?
Well, it's very kind of Marks and Spencer's. I mean, I've actually done it twice. Only twice. I know you would think I was all lived there. If you remember, just a few weeks ago, there was a story about me buying all my clothes in second-hand shops, which I do as well. But the thing is that whenever I go to Marks and Sparks, which is frequently, I now get surrounded by customers telling me how good the health service has been for them, what it did for their father, their brother, their sister. I was mentioning this to somebody, saying it was taking me now so long to do my shopping, and they very kindly made this
listeners, what a marvellous surprise for you. Look who has just popped into the studio.
Hello, Possums. Guess who is talking to Mike this morning?
None other than Australia's gift to the world. Would you welcome, please, the Melbourne mother and megastar, Dame Edna Everett.
Michael, I'm up so early, but if Mike can get up as early as this, I can.
This is stunning. I'm gobsmacked, as they say here.
Well, there was no warning, really. I just happened... Well, I was flying over in my chopper, as a matter of fact. And I saw the light on. I thought, who's up as early as this? And it was you. It was the light from your studio window.
The flicker of a guttering candle.
And you sit here, you know.
Now, Mr. Jackson, would you tell the court exactly why you have undergone this facial reconstruction surgery?
Oh, yes. I am on a mission to save the world through the children.
Yes, quite so. We realise that, Mr. Jackson. But the plastic surgery itself, is there a reason for it?
Oh, yes. The children of the world are beautiful. We are all God's children, and he loves us.
One moment, please. Mr. Sinica.
Yes, my lord?
Your client is not exactly answering the question, is he?
Not entirely, my lord, no.
So would it help, perhaps, if I were to put a question from the bench?
Well, as your lordship pleases.
Thank you. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, my lord.
Is it necessary, in the pursuit of your occupation, for you to alter your appearance?
Oh, yes.
Adopt exotic hairstyles. To put on the motley, as it were.
The what?
To appear in colourful and unusual fancy dress.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Very curious.
And I love what you're wearing, too, Jed. It's beautiful.
Pardon?
A lovely wig you have on and a beautiful red dress.
It is difficult, Melinda, as you can see.
Oh, good heavens. Stop, stop. Got to go, because the news is coming up. A last word from Fred. Goodbye, Fred, you old darling, you.
Strange to see those eyes. Look like stained glass windows some mornings, vandalised with a house brick. But bon voyage.
Thanks, mates, for all you've done. You've been great. And to you, to use another Australian expression, you've been fair dinkum. Goodbye.
LBC News Talk 97.3. News.
It's 9 o'clock. This is Jonathan Staples. Albert Reynolds is to face angry opposition leaders in the Irish Parliament today to spell out details of a proposal for a peace forum. They claim they haven't been briefed on the forum mentioned in the Anglo-Irish Declaration. It would be set up providing the...